Cajun Banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Other banks charge fees on savings and checking accounts. Doesn't sound good, does it? Capital One reimagined banking, so it sounds more like this. With Capital One, you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. Get started now at a Capital One location or online. Sound good to you? This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Approval required. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Gentlemen, now you can find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these easy instructions. Step one, shop a personalized store that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step two, level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little to no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store. We're so you.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, y'all.
3-0 Braves here in the bottom of the fifth as they just went yard. It was nothing going into this inning, and Atlanta getting on the scoreboard first as Major League Baseball's playoffs continue. Some fun games, some exciting games over the weekend. Boston winning in walk-off fashion as well. Coming up later tonight, it's the Rays and the Bo Sox. Boston leads the series 2-1 in game four. And that is in Boston, 6:07 over on FS1. Later on TBS, it's the Giants and the Dodgers. That series is knotted up at 1-1. Giants with a nice win in game one. Dodgers put up a bunch of runs in game two. So let's see what happens here. 8:37 first pitch over on TBS. And it was going to be an Astros-White Sox game today, but that has gotten postponed due to inclement weather in Chicago. Astros lead that series 2-1. 800-998-1003. We'll open up the phone lines back again at the bottom of the hour. Your thoughts on LSU and what's going on with Coach O and that situation over there. It's one of our questions of the day. What do? Do you play it out the season? Is it Coach O no and you get rid of it, or you give him time? I don't know. You tell me what you feel. That he kind of went off on Jacques Doucet earlier today. It's just uncomfortable and it looks like a distraction. That's me, Matt Moscone. And after further review, 58 minutes away, I'm sure you'll touch on the LSU loss at Kentucky. And then, of course, we'll have Marlon Favorite at 2:15. Time now to talk a little basketball, though, right here tonight on your home for Pelicans basketball. Your New Orleans Pelicans take on the Utah Jazz. Jazz 0-2 in the preseason. Pelicans 1-1. Help us discuss and get ready. None other than the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, Todd Graffanini. Todd, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gus. How are you?
Doing good. 8 p.m. is the tip time here locally, Central Time. Of course, pregame 7:30. So we got some time. Can watch a little MNF, kind of put the kids to bed and check this game out here. Todd, what happened Saturday? I mean, you're down 46 at one point. Final doesn't look really good. But what took place? Was it just Chicago was hot and Pels were not again?
Yeah, well, they were hot. No question about it. They shot the ball very well. The Alonzo Ball was 5-for-6 from three. Scored 19 points. Look, they got a lot of firepower in Chicago. They're gonna have a pretty good year. They got some good free agents as well. Alex Caruso came over for the Lakers, and Alize Johnson, the former Brooklyn Net, is now with Chicago. So they, I think they're going to have a pretty solid year. But look, it was really a perfect storm for the Pelicans in a bad way. First of all, we could not shoot a lick, especially early in the ball game. Started out 0 for 7 from 3. Not only could we shoot the 3 early on, we could not shoot points in the paint either. We missed 20 shots in the paint, Gus. And unfortunately, that's starting to become a little bit of a theme, and we'll discuss that in a little bit. You know, you throw those two things on top of the fact that we turned it over 19 times for 31 points off the turnovers, and it's very, very difficult to win basketball games, and it's almost impossible to win when the other team is shooting the ball that well. And, you know, you got Lonzo Ball running the break, and anytime you commit those live ball turnovers, Gus, and we've talked about that for years now, you know, you start committing live ball turnovers, you let the other team get out and run, and it's very, very difficult to defend. So it just wasn't a good night, and you just got to flush it. It's preseason. That's good. Remember, we're going to be up in Chicago in a couple of weeks. We're going to play the same team again in the first week of the regular season. So hopefully you can learn from it. And now you're going up against the Utah Jazz team tonight, Gus. It's going to have all their big guns in. They've been playing it. Their first two preseason games, they've treated it like the NFL preseason. They have played nobody. You know, no Rudy Gobert, no Donovan Mitchell, no Bogdanovich, no Mike. All these guys are playing tonight. So you're going up against the Utah Jazz, who, of course, was the top seed in the West last year, which is no small feat. You know, they got ousted by Denver in the playoffs in 7 games in the semis. But, no, it's a good test for preseason because, look, if you're playing you're playing Utah without all their big guns, it kind of defeats the purpose. Well, that's not the case.
Once again, the game will be live streamed over at Pelicans.com. So, I'm assuming you and Daniel will have the call there so people can check that out and listen to it. Again, 8 o'clock, 7:30 pregame here on ESPN New Orleans. All right, you touched on it. I guess we need to because obviously that's what you're trying to improve every week and get to a playoff team. And one of the first things you need to figure out, Todd, is why the slow start? Is it just I get cold shooting, that happens, or is it something more to it that Coach Green's going to try to maybe help out as the game starts tonight?
That's a great question. You know, Daniel and I were talking about it the other night. I mean, the thing about, and we missed our first 5 shots, Gus, and they were all 3-pointers. And the thing that we noticed about those possessions is there was not a lot of ball movement. And that's just something that we really haven't seen a lot of during practices and during the first couple of preseason games. There's been a lot of ball movement, sometimes almost too unselfish ball movement. But it was basically catch and shoot, and they were not falling early, and you know everyone was a culprit. You don't point the finger at one guy. It was a team deal. So look, now remember, it's been up and down. Gus, the game before against Orlando, he shot 51% from 3. So I think it's the consistency thing that Willie Green is really looking for. The thing that's alarming to me, Gus, and Daniel and I were talking about this at shoot around today, just out of curiosity, like, Daniel, we're missing a lot of shots in the paint. What are we shooting percentage-wise in the paint? And he goes, what do you think? And I went, well, you know, top of my head, maybe 50%, which really isn't good when you're talking about shots that close. And he goes, no, I wish it was that good. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. We're shooting 43% in the paint, Gus, in the 3 preseason games. Now, that being said, the most dominant points in the paint player has not played in the preseason, and that, of course, is Zion Williamson, who led the National Basketball Association last year with 20.5 points in the paint per game, which was the most since Shaquille O'Neal. So getting Zion back is going to help big time in that department. But if you get in that close, you got to finish, and that's just something that's been a struggle here early on during these games, so and hopefully that'll change. But we'll see what happens tonight. I would imagine we're going to have the same lineup. Yeah, it looked like Trey Murphy was working with the starters today, so you might see him as a starter today. You know, Nikhil's been struggling a little bit the last game with his shot. You know, he's actually 1 for his last 9 from 3. So we'll see what Trey can do if he is in the starting lineup.
Maybe perhaps a little opportunity here, right, to kind of see how he handles this. As you said, I think one of the interesting aspects of it that we're going to see moving forward is one of the points of contention last year was perimeter defense. And in the Western Conference, as you know, Todd, you're going to be handling different kind of guards. I think Lonzo fits perfectly in Chicago for what they're asked to do. He's not the main scoring guy. And an Eastern Conference point guard is different than a Western Conference point guard. Spider, who guards him? How do they go about it? I think it's a great test. Like, if I want to see, and I'm not saying that Trey gets him or, you know, again, Conley's not bad either, but I'd like to see against the top team in the West from a year ago. That backcourt is a huge reason why. So I am interested to see how, you know, you handle it, how you go across it. Is he getting beat off the dribble? Not. Does he adjust once that happens, once or twice, for some of these younger guards and players? I know I'll throw in Awe as well. I mean, because if you want those two guys to be back there, Devontae Graham, you're bringing him in. How does the Pelicans' backcourt match up with that backcourt, which was the number one seed?
Now, that's a great point, Gus. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it as well. And like I said, Donovan Mitchell's played about a half in the first two games. He played a half in the first game against San Antonio and did not play at all against Dallas. They're only playing four preseason games as well, but they have not played in a week, almost a week. So they've been resting, have the Jazz. And again, we found out during shoot-around that they were pretty much going with everybody tonight. So, yeah, Conley's played about a half. He's going to most likely start tonight. And, of course, Donovan Mitchell and Gobert. So, yeah, no, it's a big-time test. I'm very anxious to see Trey Murphy get on Donovan Mitchell. He's got him by height, no question about it. But, of course, Mitchell can score from anywhere on the floor. So that's going to be a test, and we'll see how Nikhil responds as well defensively. So, you know, it's about being consistent. I'm going to say that word again. It's just the preseason games so far, there's been three of them. It's been a roller coaster. Did not play well at all mm-hmm. in Minnesota. Played pretty darn good in Orlando, and then didn't play well at all again in Chicago. Let's hope it trends back to the positive way here. Because after tonight, that's it. You know, and then you got 9 days, and we tip it off for real next Wednesday at home against Philadelphia.
No Jackson Hayes, obviously, that ankle, you want it to be healthy come the season opener, October 20th. My guess and assuming, I know Willie Green yesterday said no. Brandon Ingram, just makes sense. Now, again, though, if I'm a Pels fan, I'm like, wait a minute, I thought it was no big deal. Why has Brandon Ingram not played? You're still cool to tell us, though, we're going to see him on the 20th, huh?
We better see him. He's okay. He's just, you know, they're keeping him pretty cautious. You know, Jackson, though, looks a lot better to me. I talked to him at practice the other day before we left, and he said it feels a whole lot better. He's really walking without a limp. He's doing his rehab every single day. He's on the trip doing rehab, so hopefully, again, we got a whole week before the first game starts. Hopefully, he'll be good to go. So it'd be nice to see, you know, this team at full strength, Gus. We have not seen it.
Right.
Since day one of training camp, because Zion has not had one practice. And, of course, you know, you look at Utah's roster, and they have zero inactives in their game. I mean, it's like,
that's how it works.
It's unbelievable. It really, really is.
So, along those lines, obviously, you guys will come home tonight. You'll probably get back to this practice routine. What, Wednesday will probably be like a full good practice or something of that nature. That will be 1 week from tip. Is that going to be a good indicator on Zion's availability? In other words, as you just mentioned, he hasn't practiced yet. I'm assuming if you're going to play in the game, you might want to get a few practices under your belt. Is next Monday, a week from today, too late? Does he need to see a practice floor with the team, even if it's on a limited basis, this week for him to be ready next Wednesday, Todd? Or do you think, hey, next Monday, big news, Zion practice fully. Do you think you can go there? Like, because we're 10 days away.
Daniel and I had this exact conversation at shoot around today. Again, we're going to get back probably about 3:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
When we fly back tonight. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Tomorrow's gonna be rough. Uh-huh. Tomorrow is a scheduled off day though. So
for the team, you still got kids though. You still got kids. No off day for you.
guess who's gonna be bringing the kids to school at 7:30 in the morning.
Dad.
I'm not complaining though.
No,
Wednesday is I think it's gonna be key to see who's out there. because, yes, there is only 1 week. And, look, Zion can do all the conditioning work that he wants. And you know, we've seen him on the treadmill. We've seen him doing the other work in the gym, off the court. But he's got to start playing some basketball. He's got to go up and down the court, Gus, and he's got to test the foot, and he's just got to get into some basketball activities team-wise. So, yes, I will be very curious to see if Zion's on the floor during practice for the next couple days. It'd be really, really difficult for him to miss all that time, and then all of a sudden, all right, we're going to practice fully, and you're going to play on Wednesday.
Right.
You know, you got to ramp it up, so to speak. You got to just kind of get yourself into it. So, yeah, Wednesday's practice is going to be very interesting.
Right.
To see who was out there.
See, I already have it here, a little sticky note. The reason I ask you is because I already have it ready to go and ready to read. It's the dreaded phrase for Pelicans fans, and I'm sure for you as well. The dreaded minutes restrictions. Like, no one wants to hear that phrase, minutes restrictions. But if you're not practicing this upcoming week, you just get on the court next week. That's not to say you can't go and play, but to your point, I can go treadmill all I want. I could go elliptical all I want. I can ride a stationary bike. Getting out there running 5-on-5 full speed in an NBA game, that's completely different. So I'm saying today, I would not be surprised if we do see him, but maybe like 10, 13, 20 minutes, something like that, until he gets into shape. I hate that. I think that seems more logical than, again, and I hope I'm wrong, he shows up Wednesday, and we are just rolling, man. And I don't know how that's going to happen if you just had surgery in the summer, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. But look, they've been very cautious with Zion from the beginning. I think our medical staff has done a fantastic job with him. And look, remember last year, Gus, he was playing 35 to 37 minutes a night. His season ended because of a broken hand.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything else. I mean, it was a hand injury that ended his season. It wasn't anything, you know, lower half of the body. He was in pretty solid shape last year, Gus. Again, he was playing 35, 37 minutes a night. So we know he can do it. He's just got to get out there and do it, especially, you know, and you talked about how difficult it's going to be for him just to go back in there. Well, Gus, he hasn't played in a preseason game as well, much less a practice. He's got to go up and down and practice 5-on-5. So he's not going to be in any type of, you know, preseason NBA shape when you're talking about actual time on the court. It's just going to be practice time. So, you know, it's something he's just going to have to work through, and hopefully it's going to be a lot sooner than later.
Well, Todd, I'd like to thank you in advance for bringing whatever it is that you're bringing from Utah, as I just looked at a tweet here from Zach Fridella. Weather, Fox 8, fall set to make a return Sunday. I see 30s in the Midwest, 40s in Arkansas and Tennessee, 50s over the great boot state of Louisiana. So thank you for bringing,
wow,
finally, that cool weather from Utah tonight.
Because
I'm tired of sweating. tired of it.
No, it was an awesome morning here. There is snow, dusted snow in the Wasatch.
Wow.
And when we leave here tonight, tomorrow, they are getting snow in Salt Lake City. So we're just getting out of town. But, there's light dusting in the Wasatch Range. So they're just about ready here in Utah to get a little taste of first taste of winter.
Like I said, I'm tired of being sticky and wet just sitting outside or walking the dog. So thank you for bringing that cool weather, Todd. Have fun tonight, man. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. Pelicans.com. Click the website. Use your phone. You can watch it inside of the Pelicans viewing area, which is what, like 75 miles and stuff. So
yep. You
can do so. If not, listen to it right here at ESPN New Orleans, your home for Pelicans basketball. Thank you, bud.
You got it, man.
All right. Quick break. We come back. Marlon Favorite and I will discuss the situation over there at LSU. The news from Coach O earlier today, not good, yet probably expected. Kayshawn Boutte done for the season with an injury. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
One for the road. Need a-
Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville. Who dat? It's a Saints win in our nation's capital.
Winston's going to take another chance. Wide open is his man. It's Harris. And he is in. Touchdown. Back to the ground game. Kamara shot out of the cannon. And he's in. Touchdown. Alvin Kamara is a bad man. Here is Winston, who's going to take his shot, throwing towards the end zone, and it is caught! My goodness! Touchdown! It's Callaway! Winston's third down pass, wide open is Callaway! Kamara, first down, and more! He's in! Touchdown!
33-22 the final as the Saints improve to 3-2 on the season and head into a bye week. Head coach Sean Pate.
We talked about just seeing our identity as we're moving forward in this season. You know, we have a bye now. It is what it is, and hopefully we can get some guys back. Seems like we played a lot of games on the road because we have, you know, and so it'll be nice to get back and get into our schedule. Guys will have some time away.
Elsewhere in the NFC South, the Falcons and Bucks won while the Panthers lost. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home of strong.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Stay together. Stay together. It's going to be tough. I understand that. Don't stay together. And let's look at the film. Let's coach better. Let's play better. Let's get ready for Florida. That's all we can do.
That is Coach O following the defeat in Kentucky, 42-21 at one point in the game. Marlon Fave, right? Big Fave 504 on Twitter, Inside the Trenches, the podcast. I legitimately didn't know if they were going to score. I texted my friends, like, LSU may not score in this game. They made it 35-7, put them a couple of points afterwards. It was a rough Saturday night. I almost feel like that score, even though it's by 20-some points, it doesn't seem indicative, right, of that kind of game?
Yeah, Gus, if you start a game, it actually seemed like the score was worse. They ran 300-plus yards on our defense. Certain times our offense couldn't get the plays in. It was a whole bunch going on out there in Lexington. And the whole while, the crowd just seemed like it started to get louder, get more amped. But, tell the truth Monday. Yeah, that's what we had with it. But hello, somebody.
You brought it up, and I think that's kind of what I was trying to get at in the opening segment of the show. On a Saturday in which you watch Texas A&M in that atmosphere go down and beat Alabama at home, and then you see a game earlier in the afternoon, Arkansas to Ole Miss, 52-51, and you look at other games earlier that day, and then you watch that game, and it's to your point. It's can't get the plays in. It's procedure penalties and things that look tough to watch. It's being beat physically at the point of attack so they can rush. It's not a lot of trickery. Kentucky's not that, right? Kentucky's not five wideouts here, multiple men's in motions like Sean Payton in the offense. It wasn't that. And I think that's the thing that's frustrating to see is that you watch Saturday, most of the day, Iowa, Penn State, whatever, and you put on LSU, and it's a step down of football. I mean, am I wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong at all, Gus. Just the way we were set up this weekend, being able to go in and watch the other game, watch the remainder. Like, we were literally on air watching Texas A&M beat Alabama. We're paying attention to the scores at halftime. You start seeing 51, 52 points. And, Gus, the first thing popped in mind was we can't score 40 points, let alone trying to hang with Ole Miss and hang right. with Arkansas and try to score 50-plus points. So now, okay, now the attention shifts to the defense, right? So you have a defense that has talent in certain areas. I think Mason Smith is going to be an All-American. Jaquelin Roy, I trained the kid. I think he's going to be an All-American. Clark, I think he should come back another year just to raise his stock because he's a tackling machine. You know, we're known for that. And you look at the UCLA game, and you look at this Kentucky game that we just played. The two things that Kentucky and UCLA has in common is having a plan on fourth down if you're going to go for it or in any situation where it's a critical decision to do it. And both of those teams had running backs run over it. So you don't see that against Central Michigan. You don't see that against McNeese. You don't even see that against Mississippi State that much because their running games aren't strong. And speaking of running game, we finally got one going. Like, Doc, I said it in the pregame. I said it to you on last Friday. I just want to see 100 yards. I should have watched what I asked for because I should have said I want to see 100 yards. And we get 100-plus yards. Ty looks like the tie for the national championship this year, but our defense allows 300-plus yards. Gus, you sit here on Teletube Monday and you say to yourself, what is going on in Tigerland?
147 yards for Tyron Davis Price and on 22 carries, two TDs. To your point, though, it's just sort of that sense and feel. Now, Marlon, it's a tough situation, and you know it better than any of us, essentially, right? I mean, you were in a locker room. How difficult is it when it gets to something like this? Now, in terms of this, I know kids see social media. They know what they're seeing. It was halftime, and Matt Moscona was coming up in 34 minutes, posted, you know, a list of coaching candidates. And looks like we lost Marlon, buddy. Go ahead and give him a buzz back. And you're seeing that. You're seeing people tweet, message boards, coaching candidate lists. You're seeing should even make it to Monday. We're seeing today, you know, that situation where in the middle of a presser, it seems testy. It just comes across as, you know, a distraction, and you just kind of wonder how the locker room kind of handles things like that. This was earlier today.
You know, you talked about your job status a little bit and whatnot, but
hey, Jock, excuse me. Are you trying to get another quote from me?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
I'm just trying to do my job, Coach.
Good, good. Well, I'm going to do mine. I'm handling great. I said that before.
So, Marlon, what I was saying, though, is, look, halftime, Matt Moscona is putting out a coaching list. End of the game, it's a foregone conclusion. The headlines in The Advocate, The Picayune, The Athletic, the headlines read, you know, the old era's essentially done and it's hit rock bottom. I mean, how much of a distraction can that be in the locker room? And the only reason I bring that up is because when I talked about it earlier in the show as to whether or not you go the rest of the season with Coach O or not, this is a reason why I would say not, because this is going to be every day. He's getting testy with reporters now. What happens if you lose to Florida? What happens if Ole Miss drops 60 on you and you score 10? I mean, what happens? How does it get better? And if does that help a locker room, how are the players feeling right now?
Well, from a player's perspective, Gus, you're already upset because you're 3-3. You're having a losing season. You're not ranked. If you're a freshman, you came to LSU thinking you were going to win and you're losing. If you're an upperclassman, you know what it is to win. You've won a national championship. You are a part of the greatest college football season ever. So you put that in perspective and you say, man, now they're talking about getting rid of my coach. You got guys putting out lists of other coaches. For one, that's disrespectful. For two, understand everybody's frustration. And I'm not defending Coach O with this, nor am I defending the other side. But what I will say is this. Short-term memory, right? And then also people not knowing how the process works. Yeah, we're looking at the X and O thing being messed up, so on and so forth, and it looks like the head coach. But the same people 2 years ago, oh, my God, he's the greatest coach ever. He's not. So I get it. LSU's struggling right now. It's more like we were talking about the other night. Yes, it's the coaching staff, definitely. I'm not going to just point fingers at, oh, he's the head guy. But head guys, get it. It's the coaching staff to a certain extent, and it's the players. Like, all right, Gus, case in point, 350-some-odd yards ran on an offense. How is that the coach? Now, some would say, oh, schematically, we could have done things better, called different defensive plays. How, Sway? What different plays are there to call if a guy's ramming a ball down your throat and you're just supposed to win in your gap? So, from a player, this is your coach. No one wants to deal. And that's another thing. If you're going to fire somebody in the middle of the season, you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. We don't even know if this team has a plan from that perspective. So the whole fire, oh, here's a list of names. No one's thinking about the players. This is their coach. So it's a lot of guys, despite what's going on right now, they're going to ride or die with them. It will, right? Because that's the recruiting piece people don't understand. That's like, what does that mean for recruiting? Okay, we're one of the top recruiting class. Let's just say we're somewhere in the top 10. I don't even know where we're at, Gus, right? But I see the caliber of players we're bringing in there. So my whole thing is, why would you do that and just go with a long-term plan right now? The fact that Coach O started this season, that lets me know. And like Scott was at LSU before. We've known Scott Woodward for years. And man's calculated. He don't make just flash decisions, emotional decisions. He's the type of GM that's going to take his time. He's going to assess the situation all around and then make his decision. But I don't think that's the right now thing right now for recruiting. LSU is still in a building state. We are, Gus. We are still in a building state. You don't just fire a top five recruit, a recruiter, and say, we're just going to get someone else. Now, again, I'm not defending Coach O at all. I want to see LSU win. But what I will say is this. If you never played football before or actually been in the locker room, and I get it, Gus, there are respectable journalists out there. But if you never put on these pads, if you never been in the locker room, if you never actually coached a team, shut up. Stop talking. And that's no disrespect to anyone. But for people to go all the way in like this is what they should do, how you know? You don't know what's going on with the people in the locker room. But I'm just whatever, Gus. I'm upset too, right, obviously. Folks that listen to us probably have never heard me have this much passion behind it because I hate the fact that we're losing, especially when we weren't supposed to lose to Auburn. We weren't supposed to lose in that fashion to Kentucky. If we lose that game 42-40, it's a different conversation today. So I get both sides, but pipe down, and let's get ready for Florida.
Final thing for you, Marlon, the tough news of Kayshon Boutte, it just goes up for a ball, lands awkwardly on the ankle. Obviously, I think you can deduce what that means. I would assume surgery or something of that nature. And again, I'm just assuming, but that would make sense. See why your season would be done. Coach O saying that today. He was your bright spot, right? He was your go-to guy. He was your playmaker. And that just stinks.
Yeah, this one hurts. This kid is having the best wide receiver in the country type year. Really a bright spot in a dark area for LSU right now. Like, oh, we're losing, but at least Kayshon Boutte is 10 touchdowns up on him, right? So it does hurt. My heart goes out to the kid. This is his sophomore season. You know how this movie goes. Well, I tell somebody, right? You know how this movie goes, but at the very end of the day, we lose a big playmaker. And just looking at the rest of the schedule, Gus, it doesn't look promising for us, but I do believe that the players in that locker room have enough passion for their team to where we're just going to finish some kind of way, in some form of fashion. We're going to finish because the coaches, Gus, the coaches do not play. They don't play. They don't play at all.
We had a call earlier today kind of say that as well. You can't put it all on the coach. At the end of the day, players have to have pride. Got to go out there and make some plays. So we'll see, Marlon. I know it's tough, sir. We'll talk again on Friday. And I promise then I'll bring up your Cowboys victory. We'll let you have some fun. You can give me an excuse why the Lakers don't look good in preseason. All that other stuff for you as well, sir, because I know that you got to get some stuff off your chest, though, being an LSU Tiger and a national champion. Thank you as always, man.
Well, Gus, thank you so much, bro. I know we got to go, but at least the Saints won, baby. The Who That Nation won.
They did.
We didn't have any status for another 2 months. Yeah, they won. Shout out to Jameis Winston, man. He's just doing it, man. I'm loving what he's doing. That brother deserves his hand clap. And Marshawn Lattimore, man, just made it to my top five of corners in the league. He's doing it, so big ups to the Saints.
12-3, Marlon. 12 touchdowns to 3 interceptions for Jameis Winston. 2 coming in one game where he had no line of protection, trying to make plays. And in the last one yesterday, Andres Pete let this guy get in, hits him on his arm. At the same time, he's stepped on his foot. Hard to throw an accurate bomb with arm strength when that happens. Those are the 3 picks. Anyway, thank you, Marlon. Appreciate the time, sir. There he goes. Big Faith 504. So to follow him on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Just will come to you next when we come back on ESPN New Orleans.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years?
Your Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
The 2005 Texas Longhorns began the season ranked number 2 and stayed there all season. Their defense allowed only 16 points per game, while their Vince Young-led offense averaged 50. The Longhorns went on to face USC in the BCS National Championship game against top-ranked USC, winning 41-38 in what many consider one of the greatest college football games ever played.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
You know that feeling when your team adds that one player that has every skill they've been looking for? Well, it's time your business knew how it felt too. LinkedIn Jobs taps into a network of over 770 million professionals to find the right people for your role. Then their filtering and prioritization tools help you narrow down to just the most qualified candidates for you. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn number 1 in increasing the quality of hire versus leading competitors. Post a job for free at linkedin.com/sports. That's linkedin.com/sports.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball is back.
Drives back into the lane. Alley-oop Zion! Oh, my heavens! Oh, my heavens!
Watch your head.
Hi, this is Todd Graffinini. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans wrap up preseason play against the Utah Jazz on Monday, October 11th at 8 p.m. You can hear it exclusively on your flagship station for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM.
Talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Something we don't even want to think about, you know, because we let that game go. So.
So, you know, we had to lock in and just do what we had to do to end the game this time. You know, we didn't want to leave it up to nobody but us. So.
Marshawn Lattimore, I thought a fantastic game. Terrible PI call, I thought, in the corner. I thought that guy, even color commentator were saying, kind of kept diving on the floor to make you think that Marshawn Lattimore was pushing him. I didn't think that was PI in the end zone at all. Go to the phone lines, 800-998-1003. Is it Just or Russ? What's your name, bud?
It's Jeff, actually.
Jeff, okay. Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. What's wrong with LSU fans, Gus?
Give it to me.
Well, I mean, I'm not an LSU fan. Let me make that clear so I don't see the world through the same crazy eyes that they do. But, you know, growing up in Louisiana, you sometimes it just accidentally splashes upon you. I mean, you can't avoid it. But what these crazy LSU fans, this goes back to Jerry DiNardo, Gus. Like, they never liked Jerry DiNardo. All Jerry DiNardo did was take him from the basement and bring him to three straight bowl games. Won all three of them, by the way. Then you get Nick Saban. It's kind of a wash. I mean, you still hear some people say they didn't like him quite well. Then you go to Les Miles, and they never seem to like Les Miles. But every single time that Michigan job got open, don't come talk to Les Miles. We like Les Miles. But then they didn't like Les Miles. And now here we are with Coach O, just had a national championship. Now they're calling for his head. So I go back, man. What's wrong with LSU fans? I don't get it.
Do you think a lot of it is the style of football by what you see, though? Or do you think it's, hey, the learning process or a building process? Or do you think the fact that they're 8-8 since the national championship, is it concerning, or do you think it's normal?
I mean, I think it might still be a little bit of a hangover, but I mean, you know, it was just 2 years ago, and it's not like the team's bad. Yes, they're not winning like LSU fans want them to win, but, you know, I'm sure at the end of the season they'll still have a winning record, and they might be in the, you know, GusCattingill.com bowl or something, but I mean, you know, it's not like it's a lost cause.
So
I just don't get it. If you fire him right now, who are you going to get immediately that's any better?
Well, right. Look, Mickey Joseph is what Matt says would be the interim, and I get it. You would eventually think at the end of the year that you would find somebody that would put you where you believe that you should be going, right? And I guess that's where the fan base, perhaps the athletic director, sort of feels. I guess I'll ask you this, Jeff, not being a fan, as diehards, as the ones we're talking about, just your eyeballs. How would you answer today's poll question? Let the season play out, give O more time, as in you're coming back next year, or move on, based off of what you've seen?
If I was the boss, I would definitely let the season play out, and then, you know, I would even keep him on until next year, and obviously if he goes 0-3 or stinks it up next year, then you got to make a move. But I mean, it's just too soon after the glory days, man. I mean, you know, like he was just there. You know, it was just party time not that long ago, and they're already calling for his head. I just don't get it. And like I said to you earlier, to me, this mentality goes all the way back to Jerry DiNardo. I just don't understand. It's like the LSU fans have these delusional expectations sometimes, and just like one little blemish on the resume, and they go bananas.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call, sir.
All right, man. Be good.
Yep, for sure. Gerard, thanks for giving us a call today, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. If I'm correct, could you repeat what Marlon Favreau said about not strapping up and not coaching? And shouldn't he say your comments should be limited or your questions should be limited to an extent?
If he hadn't played, that's what he was saying.
Well, I haven't been a mailman, but I know when my mail's not coming late. There's a lot of jobs that we criticize because it's outside the norm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about you, but I've worked for incompetent people, and people from the outside could see that, hey, look, this person is changed things, and it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? So
Gerard, I will say this. I see where Marlon's coming from because he's speaking from that player's perspective and mentality of being in a locker room and, you know, trying to, it's probably hurtful. It's probably tough to hear the fan base, the people that's supposed to be cheering you on, kind of feeling that way. And part of you know, being in a locker room is buying into the person that is your leader, the guy that's holding practice, the guy that's
right.
talking to you. And so I think I understand that perspective. I also, like you, and like I've told him, I'm like, you know, and I understand Jeff's point here about, you know, is it enough or not? I think it's two different things in this perspective, whether it was DiNardo or, you know, with Miles, 10, 11 wins isn't enough. It's the title. Look, that's just, that's the coaching.
It's the nature of the beast.
It is, right? It is. Because you're going to be either that coach that needs to win because a team hasn't won. Then you get to the point where you've won, right. but you haven't won enough. And then you have that level of coaches that wins. But then they're the regular season winners, right? They got to win in the postseason. Then you get the coach that gets just far enough in the postseason but can't take the next step. It's never going to be enough for a head coach. I mean, when you think about it, it never is. And to your point, though, like you're saying, your eyes are telling me, look, I would just look at it like this, and I could have answered this or asked Jeff today. If the LSU doesn't get Joe Burrow, now I get that's a big if. Coach O was a reason that he came. He sold them on it and recruited him here. But if they don't have Joe Burrow, is Coach O still the head coach on this team? We forget the first year he was on, him and the offensive coordinator after the BYU game here in New Orleans, where they had to have a sit down, like the AD had to sit them down together because they wouldn't talking, like in his first year, He's gone through assistance. He's got like since his first year, like in the first game, there was issues.
Listen, I'm with you 100% on that. Gus, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay. Listen, you're making the money and you're under the spotlight. It's win or go home. That's what it's all about. And if you don't like being criticized, why don't you return some of the money? But when you have a boss, if you go to a restaurant and you're not being served properly, you can complain. You know, the waiter or waitress doesn't like it, but it's too bad, so sad. So if Marlon Favreau wants to get upset, that's his personal problem. But if he wants to criticize people for talking about Coach O or asking in the locker room, which for us, for the rest of us, it's called your work culture. Mm-hmm. There's a culture. Now, if it doesn't fit, you have to move on. Now, if we look at Coach O's record when he was at other schools, I'm surprised he got this job when he was third on the list. If you look at his record, I mean, so it is time for him to move on. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you why it's time for him to move on. One word, recruiting. When you recruit, you have to go into someone's house and say, we win. Do recruits know what they see? They're football players. They're being recruited to play football. They know what they see, and they can see where a program's going. So if you want to move old, you want to move ahead, if you want to start building, you got to get rid of him now so the recruits know you're serious.
That's a very, very good point, Gerard, because, again, your eyes will tell you, and you get that sense and feel, and as I mentioned, you put on Saturday's action, and it's easy to recruit to Arkansas, mate. Like, you can see it. You felt the excitement. You see all of that, and then you watch over there, and you look at social media, and you're like, okay, the fan base isn't buying. This game stinks. They're having trouble. You may second-guess it. Quick break. We come back. The Shire will go to you, sir, and we'll put a wrap on things. Matt Muscoden, after further review, I'm sure he's probably pacing in the studio. He can't wait to get going here at the top of the hour. It's the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
The devastation that was left behind will be in our hearts and minds forever. But our community has the most hardworking and loyal individuals than anywhere else. We are strong. We will rebuild. We will conquer. Golden Motors is open for sales, service, and parts to assist your needs. Arriving daily is your next brand new Chevrolet, Buick, or slightly used any maker model vehicle. Golden Motors, price is priority. 985-325-1000 or visit us 24/7 at goldenmotors.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
A lot of confidence. I'm going to go to work tomorrow just like I did and plan on beating Florida like I do every day. And that's not going to change. I look at it one game at a time, one day at a time, and that ain't going to change.
The old bunker mentality. Going on over in Baton Rouge. DeShia, thank you so much, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gus. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Had a good weekend, and all I know is there's a cold front coming this weekend. That's all I care about.
Well, look, let me. I wasn't going to call in today, but after hearing the caller, Jeff, talk about, you know, how LSU fans are crazy and, you know, crazy eyes and all of that stuff, I had to call in and address what he was saying because, look, all LSU fans want is a winning head coach with a winning team consistently year after year. And what they're comparing it to, what I compare it to, is when you look at Nick Saban with Alabama, he doesn't go on losing seasons consecutive, especially like LSU is having right now. And that's what we compare ourselves to. Is what Nick Saban is doing in Alabama. We're trying to stay competitive every year with the monster in Alabama. And you don't see him having these losing seasons like that. And that's what's aggravating and agitated to LSU fans. Because we expect every single year to compete with the likes of Alabama. And when you have these losing seasons like that, we don't have the patience for that. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have fans calling for Coach O's job right now. I mean, and people like Jeff have to understand that. You know, we just don't have the patience for that kind of thing, especially season ticket holders. You know, alumni, they don't have that kind of patience for that. We have the talent on this team. You can see it. If you're getting top five, top ten right. recruiting classes every single year, there is no reason not to have a winning season every year or be competitive every game. And you got to admit the Kentucky game just is not competitive. And that's what's aggravating LSU fans.
And DeShia, to your point, I'll use this example, right? Arkansas, they lost. They've lost two straight. Now, 2 weeks ago, they got absolutely shellacked against Georgia, didn't score. They're now the number one team in the country. That was your chance to see, all right, you've come along. Now, where are you? There's two different tiers. Okay, so you go to Oxford, and you went toe-to-toe in Oxford with the Lane train, the quarterback that's never really been known for a passer. And I mean, they put up 51 points, and I loved the, hey, let's go for two, you know, sort of thing. So to your point, I'm an Arkansas fan. Yeah, we've lost two straight. Yeah, we've lost. But look at where we are. Like, we're right there. It's a competitive thing. I wasn't kidding. I text Marlon in the third quarter. I don't think LSU was going to score. 35-7 was at that point, and I was like, okay, well, they scored. Like, that's my point. And I think that's what you're bringing up, too, is at least let there be an air of competitiveness. And whether you like it or not, you have to be competitive at a certain level in the SEC, comma, in the SEC West to win a championship, period. And if you're not, you're going to look bad and you're going to get embarrassed. And I think that's why we're talking the way we are right now, man. Got about 30 seconds.
Absolutely. You're hitting the nail on the head. And look, I know we got short on time, but Gus, have a great next week, man, and be listening every day. Have a good one.
For sure, man. Taking a look tomorrow, we'll dive into this conversation a little bit more and also take a look, obviously, at the Saints 3-2 season. We'll hear from Sean Payton and a couple of players, including DeMario Davis, that will be made available today. So I'm excited. Looking forward to it, and we will be out of here. And Matt Muscoden at the Further Review is up next. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.